بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to episode 4 of Finding the Balance, Rediscovering the Ideal Muslimah. Now, as you know, in this series, we are asking a few important questions. First, who is the Muslim woman? And what are her abiding characteristics? And how can we live up to the standard that has been set for us by our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in today's day and age? But before I dive into today's episode, I'd like to take a moment to reflect on why. Why should we seek to live up to these standards? What is it that we should be aiming for, striving for? Well, I'll tell you. It is the love of Allah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that when Allah loves a servant, he calls Jibreel and he says, "Verily, I love this person, so you should love him." Then Jibreel loves him and makes an announcement in the heavens saying, "Allah loves this person and you should love him." Thus the dwellers of the heavens love him and he is honored on the earth. Subhanallah. High standards for a high reward indeed. How can we go about embodying these characteristics? Well, in today's show, we're going to be asking, can you balance being truthful and loving at the same time? Let's do it. We are all aware of the importance of honesty and truthfulness in life and in deen. So this ayah is merely a reminder to us where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O believers, stand firm for Allah and bear true testimony. Do not let the hatred of a people lead you to injustice. Be just, that is closer to righteousness, and be mindful of Allah. Surely Allah is all aware of what you do." And yet another reminder, "O believers, stand firm for justice as witnesses for Allah, even if it is against yourselves, your parents, or close relatives. Be they rich or poor, Allah is best to ensure their interests. Do not let your desires cause you to deviate from justice. If you distort the testimony or refuse to give it, then know that Allah is certainly all aware of what you do." So let's just take a moment to think about the emphasis that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on us being truthful, standing for justice, even if it is against ourselves. This requires radical honesty, being truthful with yourself, being truthful with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, choosing the truth over comfort, even with our loved ones, which as we know can be the hardest people to tell the truth to, but also being truthful with the people. And I'd like you to look at that truthfulness as something that you do about yourself and also about others. Now, for many of us, the idea of being truthful about ourselves is uncomfortable because that means that we have to confront certain things, but the idea of being truthful with others is even more uncomfortable because now we are potentially hurting feelings, making people feel bad, putting people in a difficult situation. But the amazing thing about it is that the deen teaches us how to tell the truth to the people, to others, in a loving way, in a way that brings barakah. And that's where we can now start talking about being loving as the opposite or as the thing that balances out your truthfulness. Anas radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "None of you believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself." So let's take a pause there for a minute and ask ourselves, if we're honest, would we like the people to be truthful with us when we have erred, when we have fallen short, when we've hurt someone? Do we want somebody to lovingly tell us the truth? Or would we prefer that they tell us a lie and we remain ignorant? It may be uncomfortable, but for most of us, we would prefer to know when we've done something wrong. And the beautiful thing is that hadith is reminding us that you love for the people what you love for yourself. And if you would love for someone to be honest with you and speak to you in a particular way, then that is the way to speak to the people. The Prophet ﷺ also said that when a man loves his brother, he should tell him that he loves him. So again, this emphasis on coming from a place of love. Yet another reminder from the Prophet ﷺ, where it was said to him, a man may love some people, but he cannot catch up with their good deeds. And the Prophet ﷺ said, everyone will be with those whom he loves. So let's look at what love means to us. Of course, many of us have, you know, a notion of love that is about making people feel seen and feel safe and, you know, making them feel good. So how does that work with being truthful? Because most people, if we're telling truths, it's things that they may not necessarily want to hear. And this is where the balance comes in, where we use the teachings of the deen to help us to tell the truth with love. And that is by following the manners of giving nasiha. Now, nasiha is what? It's advice. And we have been given a playbook for how to give nasiha in the very best way. So the Prophet ﷺ told us that religion is sincerity. And so the companion said, to whom? And he said, to Allah, to his book, to his messenger, and to the leaders of the Muslims and their common folk. So there is a playbook. There is a way to be truthful, there is a way to give advice. And the shurut, the pillars of our giving of advice should be this. Firstly, it must come from a sincere place. It must come from a place of wanting good for the other person. You must also speak the truth. Don't give nasiha in a way that is not truthful. And we're encouraged not to shame those people that we are advising, not to shame people and make them feel bad. If you are going to bring the truth to somebody, bring your proof. Where's the dalil? Make sure that you're not coming to somebody with truth that is actually conjecture. And almost most importantly, the nasiha is to be given in private. That is the best way to ensure that you are able to stay within the bounds of Islamic advice and tell the truth with a dose of love on the side, inshallah. Now stay with me, sisters, because in the next segment, sisters and I will be reflecting on some stories from the seerah that demonstrate the importance of telling the truth. I'll see you then. And I am back with my sisters Talha and sister Anisa, and we want to dig a little bit deeper into some of the issues that we talked about earlier in the episode. So when I was doing my research, I came across that story, I'm sure you guys have heard of it, of the Amir al-Mu'mineen walking through the streets and him overhearing a conversation between a girl and her mother about mixing her milk with water. So they were selling milk in the marketplace, and her mother told her to go and mix it with some water so they could get more money for the milk, right? And the daughter says, no, the Amir already announced that we shouldn't do this. And the mother says, he's not here, he can't see you, you know, do what I said. And then the girl says, you remember what the girl says? She says, you know, even if he cannot hear me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can hear me, right? Mm. Basically, I'm not going to do that. Mm. Alhamdulillah, happily for her, she was overheard by the Amir, who decided that this was an extremely valuable virtue that she had displayed. And he went and found her a husband from amongst his sons. So, you know, happy ending for everyone, mashallah. But, you know, that must have taken some guts for the girl to say to her mother, I'm not doing it. You know, even though the mother obviously felt very strongly that this is something they needed to do, for her to be able to tell the truth to her own mother and say, you know, basically, you know, call her out and say, in front of Allah, I'm not going to do this. Do you think that that must have taken a certain level of iman for her? And how can we tell the truth, especially to the people who we love and who really, to be honest, don't want to hear the truth from us?
I think one of the things that we find is so clear in our faith is that truthfulness or truth, sidq, always leads to good outcome. Mm-hmm. Definitely in this situation for the young girl, you know, and subhanAllah, from our, you know, tradition, we find that sidq, you know, yahdi ila albir, you know, albir yahdi ila aljannah, you know, that truthfulness leads to righteousness, good things, you know. Definitely in her case, it led to good things, and good things leads eventually to Jannah. Opposite is true, you know, like, you know, when you lie or when you are engaged in falsehood, it leads to sin. Mm. And sin, end destination is in Jahannam. Yeah, we seek protection from it. So as believers, as Muslim, we have to know that Allah loves truth. And sometime you may have the truth with you, but you may not be able to deliver the truth because the time is not right. Mm-hmm. However, sit with the truth and look for opportunity to deliver it in the right time and place. That's where wisdom comes in.
Yes.
But to hide your truth or to hide the truth is not from, you know, the best way of doing things, because people that, you know, are in front of you who may not appreciate the truth at that time, but they would always value the truth when they're in their own, like, in a bubble, thinking and reflecting, you know. And often I see that sometimes when you are the torchbearer of the truth, people, they know if they want the truth, they come to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They come to you and they respect you, although they may differ with you because you hold the truth.
They may even dislike you.
Exactly.
But they still respect
exactly.
you.
Exactly. But our thing is not that we are liked or disliked. Our thing is, okay, Allah likes it, so therefore I'm going to live my life according to the truth, you know, and I'm going to tell the truth to the best of my ability, you know. And when you live your life with that truth, then you find that people often get you, people know you for your truth, mm-hmm. you know, because they know that, you know, if they want the truth, they will come to you. And even in your silence, they know that you have the truth and you're feeling hesitation to speak the truth, you know. So they will always prompt you, like, what do you think?
Yes,
exactly. And it's definitely to do with wisdom. 100%, you know, I think that's the main thing, because people so readily, especially nowadays, get offended, don't they? You know, so it's how you deliver that truth and when you find that opportunity. And I think that's really simple. I think it can be done with beauty. You know, for instance, I don't know, if somebody's upset you or something, you know, they've said something or they've done something to you and it's something that, you know, you want to, you know, get out, let's say, for instance, you know, you use beautiful words in the beginning. So you have that hikmah, you know, you use beautiful words and then you say whatever is on your chest, that whatever truth you want to, you need to tell them, and then you close it with something beautiful as well. So to be thoughtful about the way that the person is going to receive the truth, I think that's as important as delivering the truth.
I agree. And I think that the, you know, this idea of telling the truth from a place of genuine love and concern, I think it makes a difference, because obviously there are rules and there are manners, etiquettes for how to give nasiha, advice. And a big part of that is that in your heart, you want good for the person, right?
Yeah.
You're not trying to humiliate them. You're not trying to shame them. You're not trying to have, you know, get one over on them.
Yeah.
It is literally from a place of love. And actually, it's interesting to me that, you know, for many people, refrain from telling the truth because they say, no, I love the person too much. Like, I don't want to hurt them, right? Mm. But it's one of those funny things. It's like you said, you know, do you really love this person? So if somebody, for example, is involved in some kind of munkar, some kind of ma'asi, and you don't tell the truth and you don't speak the truth to them and you don't give them nasiha because you don't want them to be upset, because you don't want to be sad, you are basically complicit in their munkar or ma'asi.
Mm.
Is that love?
Yeah.
But doesn't it then go back down to you ultimately not just loving them, but you helping to shape them and make them better? Because again, going back to what we spoke about before, in terms of we're always in this place of happiness or comfortability, that's not necessarily what makes us grow and helps us to be better.
It is literally not what makes us grow.
Yeah, exactly. So when somebody points out something and they're doing it from a genuine place because they love you, it's only because they want you to be better.
Yeah.
You know, so we should be ready to receive the nasiha also, inshallah.
I think the point that you mentioned about being, you know, uncomfortable, you know, when you are trying to help another person grow. Often what I see in the community is that a sister may, you know, have something to say to another sister. So what they tend to do, they go down the path of speaking to other sisters. Mm. Now the thing is, the problem is not going to be solved by you talking about this other sister with another sister.
Well, now you're just backbiting.
Exactly. And basically, Shaitan's loving it because you've actually created something that was supposed to be good intended,
right?
But you've just given, you know, like opening for the shaitan, yes, and you've just gone, you know, you've derailed yourself, yeah, you know?
So it's almost like there's that worse to say, no, don't say anything to her, yeah, because she's going to get upset. Mm. And you know what she's like. You know, she doesn't like, yeah, to, you know, X, Y, and Z. And you don't want to be the reason for her to be upset. It's like, yeah, this little waswas, yeah, just plants the seed in you, yeah, to derail you, as, yeah, you said, from your initial good intention, yeah, which was to be a true lover of that person.
Yeah.
Because if you truly love for your sister what you love for yourself, mm-hmm, I hope that in our honest moments, we could say that I would prefer to know the truth, even if it's hard, yeah, than to be told a lie and, yeah, think that everything's,
yeah, definitely,
okay.
And I think we all would agree that if somebody was to come to you in the nicest manner and were, yeah, to approach you and say, you know, there's something I need to talk to you about, and they were to say, look, I have observed X, Y, and Z, you would feel like, oh my God, this person has taken that time out to actually correct me.
They care.
But compare that with another scenario where this person has gone with another person, had a little chat,
and this other person, party.
Yeah, and you think, no, even if your intention was good, yeah, the way you have gone about it, it's not good, you know? Also, I have seen, generally speaking, people appreciate, you know, correction and, yes, advice if it's done in the right way. Like, subhanAllah, you know, sometimes, you know, we always doubt ourselves, should I not? Because we don't want to offend. You know, we live in a society where we don't want to offend. But growth comes about when somebody actually says, you know what?
And it makes you a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, it makes you uncomfortable for the giver and the taker. But you know what? Sometimes you don't realize how much appreciation, you know, is going to be thrown at you when you do, yeah, pluck the courage to yeah, do that.
And I tell you, I think sometimes, and this is what I like to do, and I like to teach my children, is actually be truthful to yourself. Mm. Reflect yourself. Yeah. Before another
person, be honest with yourself.
Before, yeah, Allah. Because, you know, let's say, for instance, and you know, I'm taking a very obvious one here, but let's take something like weight. Yeah. Mm. Okay, the truth is, you're looking in the mirror and you're seeing that, you know, your habits are leading to this destruction, right? Mm. It's not just about the way that you look, you know, and the weight, the actual physical weight, but it's the implications that you can have, yeah, you know, and the contradictions that can come from it. Mm. But you have to be truthful to yourself, yeah, and to be able to say, actually, you know what, I need to make a change for myself. Mm. So reflecting on your truth, do it yourself first.
Yeah. It's true. It's that whole, you know, pointing a finger at another, yeah, you know, and what's happening with you, subhanAllah. Mm. I think that's really, again, when we refuse to face the reality that is staring back at us in the mirror, right? It's easier to focus on other people's, yeah, flaws, other people's, yeah, faults, other people's mistakes, right? Yeah. And sometimes we can be very ready to be truthful, yeah, with everybody else, but not, yeah, with ourselves. And, yeah, I think that's one of the aspects of the deen that I truly appreciate, and that is the way that we are encouraged to self-reflect.
Definitely.
It starts here with, yeah, me, yeah, with me, myself, and I, yeah, and then, yeah, Rabbana and I, yeah, right? Yeah. And you know, my Lord and I. Yeah. And that is, you know, what we say, that's your first sphere of influence, yeah, is yourself.
Yeah.
So a lot of the times we are looking at others and trying to find fault or, yeah, seeing faults in others, yeah, yeah, but we haven't, yeah, had a check taken.
And how you can actually do this yourself practically, again, looking at practical ways on, you know, how the viewers can do it, is by doing personal development,
yeah,
you know, or getting a coach. But when you do your personal development, then you don't even need to tell anybody. You need to just look at yourself. You know what? As a mother, I might be a little bit too harsh. How am I going to, you know?
Yeah, and just for the viewers who may be wondering what you mean by personal development, you know, we're talking about sitting down, looking at your life with, yeah, you know, with a journal or something, yeah, and just looking at each area of your life. Obviously, exactly, there's so many resources, mashallah, online, but it literally is, you know, however you want to see it, as a slave of Allah, as a, yeah, mother, as a, exactly, wife, as a sister, how am I doing?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. Honestly, you know.
But also, I think there needs to be a balance between, you know, self-development, also helping people around you, because nasiha is very, you know, key in our deen. You know, adinu nasiha. Deen is,
yes,
nasiha.
Yes.
So I think we have to be mindful that, yes, you take care of yourself. You are engaged in your own, like, well-being, spiritual well-being and everything. But at the same time, don't forget your neighbor. If they're, mm, doing something wrong, mm, it's that thing of, you know, commanding good and forbidding evil, that you are responsible for the people around you as well, so that if somebody is like drowning, you need to like pull them. And this is what Surah Asr talks about, watawasaw bil haqqi watawasaw bis sabr, you know, that element of ta'awun, like cooperation.
Yes. Yeah.
And that has to be so that you see something and you think, okay, what's the best way I can actually deal with that advising or that nasiha? And often, you know, when you take that time to think, okay, if I was in her place, I would want somebody to advise me. So when you put yourself in their shoes, you carve a way out that's going to help you to navigate through this, say, criticism or advice, because you know that, okay, if I was in her shoe, I would want the same done to me.
Yeah.
So that helps you to know what method to apply, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, the essential acceptance that we all need to have, which is that we are a work in progress, that we are human beings,
definitely,
that we are created with flaws, not perfect, imperfect, mashallah, and by design, right?
Yes.
And it's okay to be wrong, and it's okay to make a mistake, and it's okay as long as you grow and you learn. So, my dear sisters, I hope that you took something of benefit from that, inshallah. If you did, you know what to do. Please do post about this on your socials and make sure you tag Iman Channel and myself, Naima B. Robert. We can't wait to see what your takeaways have been. Now, let's go over to my parting thoughts. Let's do it. As a revert, the idea of belonging to a global family defined by the bonds of faith and mutual respect and responsibility is a powerful one. Here, in the arms of the Ummah, we expect to shed the barriers of race, class, culture, and caste, and embrace each other as sincere brothers and sisters in faith. Now, while this is not always the reality, in spite of all its complications and contradictions, there is something special about this community forged by Iman. There are the little things, the random acts of kindness, selfless generosity, unflinching solidarity and pure love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that remind us of what this ummah could really be. Because the ummah is not some intangible entity outside of ourselves. It is you and it is me. The ummah is every single one of us. And if we want to help the ummah, if we want to improve our condition as Muslims, it starts with us. It starts with us seeking knowledge of this deen so that we can understand where we're going wrong and how to rectify ourselves. It starts with us cleansing ourselves, elevating ourselves, striving to live up to our potential as Muslims. And it starts with us passing on what we learn to our families, friends, and communities in ever-widening circles. And if we do all this with true sincerity and trust in Allah, do you have any doubt that we will see a change in the condition of the ummah, that we will be able to taste the sweetness of true brotherhood, true sisterhood, that our communities will become enlightened places of worship, acceptance, and joy? I don't. So how about we get the ball rolling starting today? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the work that we do within the ummah and make us a cause for its revival. Ameen. See you in the next episode, inshallah.